the land that we're talking about that we have targeted as a potential site for a ballpark is the land they had set aside, a portion of the land they set aside for passive recreation parks. So this isn't the land that was designed or intended to generate new jobs of high-paying nature, biomed fields, for example. It's the land across the street from this site. The potential site that we're talking about for the development of a ballpark should enhance the prospects of attracting the kind of biomed life science industries that we want to have in Rhode Island that pay such great wages. In fact, I have received reports from developers who are considering introducing proposals to develop that land across the street for the very type of jobs that we had all envisioned when they talked about the 195 redeployment. They're very excited about the idea of having a ballpark right across the street because that's the kind of environment that companies are very interested in seeing around those types of parks because that's the type of environment that the workers they recruit, the young people who are dynamic and exciting and interested in having something to do in day and night, they consider that an asset that will be a lure to help companies consider this site for the development of their facilities. So I think it's a very complementary use.
As we know, Pawtucket is not all that far from Providence. Minor league ballparks are generally not known as big economic generators in and of themselves. So would moving this activity from Pawtucket to Providence be a form of zero-sum economic development?
Oh, no, not at all. For one thing, we're looking at a venue for a new ballpark because we think it's time to develop a new facility that has all the amenities that our competing teams have in AAA baseball. Frankly, the areas around McCoy Stadium don't have a lot of the amenities that newer ballparks have for some of our competing teams. There's no public transportation to that site. The site we're looking at would have buses from every city and town, all 39 of them, stopping virtually in front of our site for that ballpark because the Intermodal Center is going to be right across the street. Another interesting thing about this is that one half, approximately, of our fans that go to games in Pawtucket are from Massachusetts, and they can't take a train down to the game. This particular site's a 10-minute walk from the train station, and now there's frequent MBTA services from Boston all the way down to our airport that pass Providence and be within a 10-minute walk of the front door of our ballpark. And then there's the Amtrak trains that go back and forth, both north and south. So people can now, if we're successful in developing this in downtown Providence, be able to get to the games, particularly the out-of-staters, on a train and just walk to and from the ballpark. We think it'll add many more potential attendees from out of state to our games, and that's exciting. Pawtucket has suffered a decline, 25% in attendance over the past 6 or 7 years. It was only 8 or 9 years ago, Pawtucket was the number one team. The Pawtucket Redskins were the number one team in the International League for attendance per game. Part of that's the economy. The other part is that there's not many amenities that are attracting people. So you can't get there by public transportation. You can't shop there. You can't have dinner there before or after the game, meet friends.
When will we see a formal proposal from your ownership group?
We have found the one site we considered to be perfect for a ballpark. It's very tight, and that excites people like Larry Lucchino, who likes to try to build ballparks in odd sites. So we had a lot of due diligence to do on it. There's some engineering due diligence to do on it, on the soil conditions, some environmental considerations, because we have underneath that park, that particular land, there is some stormwater treatment facilities that we have to determine whether they're compatible with baseball use. We have to look at the traffic analysis to the streets. Can the streets take that? We have to look at a parking analysis. Will we have enough parking spaces within a 15-minute walk of the ballpark? We had to look at the design, what it would take to design a ballpark that would fit in there, and we have to look at the construction costs. We're in the process of doing due diligence to make sure there's nothing on that site that would make it prohibitively expensive to build a ballpark on that site. We've engaged several consultants to undertake this, 5 or 6 of them that are completing that assignment. Some of them are just completed now. Others will be completed within the next probably 7 to 14 days. After that, we'll assimilate all that material, evaluate it, and make a decision whether this is a go for that ballpark as far as we're concerned. And then we'll put together a proposal. The state's asked us to put together a proposal to see what would it take to keep Pawtucket in Rhode Island as opposed to going to some other locality outside of the state. Frankly, I'm biased to doing that because I'm a lifelong Rhode Islander. I've grown up here all my life. My father grew up here. My grandfather came from Ireland, but he came here in the turn of the century. I have brothers and sisters here, married and raised my children doing here. I would like to give back to my community. So Rhode Island's our first choice, and we'll complete that exercise, and hopefully in about 2 or 3 weeks, we'll complete the due diligence, and we'll be prepared to make a formal proposal.
What is your view of what role public financing should play in your envisioned ballpark?
Well, there are 30 teams at AAA. That's one for each Major League Baseball club. Of those 30 teams, 27 of them play ball in ballparks owned by governments, cities or quasi-government agencies, all of them constructed for the most part with bonds. The other three that are privately owned receive substantial support from their cities or towns. In fact, one of the 27 is Pawtucket. We're in a ballpark now that we lease from the state of Rhode Island at a very low cost, something like $34,000 a year to play in that ballpark. We have a need, like everybody else does, that wants to have a ballpark in their community, in their state, to have some public support. And we're in the process now, when we complete our due diligence, we'll know pretty much what the cost of the stadium will be, whether we have to relocate any utilities, widen any roads. All those things will factor into the cost, and we'll try to devise a plan to accommodate the stadium and hopefully get an appropriate level of support from the government. We are planning to invest, unlike the other 27 of the 30, we're building with our own funds. We'll get the architects, we'll design it, and we'll take the burden to construct it. What kind of support will we need, and what form will that support take? That will be developed over the next couple of weeks, and we'll lay it out at that time.
If this particular site that you're focusing on does not work out for one reason or another, would your ownership group consider other sites in Providence?
Well, we have looked at other sites in Providence. Again, you need 7 or 8 acres, so there's not a lot of options. We've looked at the ones that are available, and we haven't found any site that would be suitable for us at this time, except for the one we've identified, and that's why it's number one on our list. And if for any reason we can't build it there, then we'll have to start talking about a plan B.
What would plan B consist of?
Looking at other alternatives to that site, in state and out of state.
Is your ownership group talking with Stephen Pryor or anyone else from the Raimondo administration?
Sure, we've had 2 or 3 meetings with Secretary Pryor. I've had a couple of meetings with the chairman of the I-195 Commission, just to let them make them aware of our plans and our hopes and our dreams, just to let them know that we're interested. And we haven't been able to make any proposal to anybody because we don't know what the cost is yet. So, and I appreciate the fact that people are eagerly awaiting the presentation of a plan. So am I, because we haven't developed it yet. We won't be able to develop it until we get all the cost numbers in, which will all be done hopefully in the next couple of weeks. And at that point, we'll have a plan that we'll submit for the consideration of the 195 Commission, for the consideration of the General Assembly, and for the administration, and also for Brown, because part of the land is owned by Brown University.
Is there adequate parking in Providence to accommodate a ballpark of the type that you propose?
I think there will be. Keep in mind that requirements of baseball generally are that you need one parking space for every 3 attendees on average. So if you have a 10,000 capacity in a ball field, you need roughly 3,300 or 3,000 spaces. We've done some work on that, and they're not all there now. But we look at the fact that there are thousands of people who work downtown and who live downtown or who live on the east side that all would be within a 15-minute walking time from their place of work or their place of residence to come to the game. They will have already parked, so we were not looking at parking spaces for them. It'll be the people from Massachusetts and other communities in Rhode Island who will have to take a car to get there. But we'll have public transportation here that we don't have in Pawtucket. So there'll be even less parking spaces to need to accommodate them because they'll come in by public transportation. There's also the plan to have a garage next door that Brown was talking about with in connection with the development of the power plant next door. And they were talking about building a 500-car garage there. We've had conversations with the developer who will own and build that. We've reached an oral accord that if we go forward with our plan, we should expand that garage to 750 cars, and that we'll take 50% ownership in it with him, and we'll both be able to use it. And then, of course, there's the Garrahy Complex garage, which is 1,250 cars that the General Assembly has approved bonds to finance once the land across the street is sold. And when that comes online, that would also provide us with opportunities for additional parking.
James Skeffington, thank you for sitting down with us.
I'm happy to do so.